B-Pod Studios.
Mike Missanelli, 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missanelli show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly with Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in a drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock ya.
Good afternoon, buddy. Mike Missanelli show. To Thursday Live 97.5 The Fanatic, also NBC Sports Philadelphia. Welcome to our television audience today, and we are also broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. So I declare today airing of the grievances day. I think we're having a little fun here. Sixers with a monster win last night, right? But you know, if they wouldn't have won that game last night, the coach would have been broiled. Several players would have been broiled for not doing enough. So, like, I got this list. I want to purge all this from people today, right? The airing of the grievances. Whatever grievance you have with any particular issue or player or coach in this city, I want to air it. I want to have a discussion on it. And this is all about you. This is not like me disagreeing with you. If you have a grievance and it's legitimate, we'll have a conversation about it. Because it's you're determining what the grievances are. Ben Simmons can't satisfy anybody, right? He just can't. Embiid satisfies more people than Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons is never going to satisfy anybody, even though his numbers are mind-boggling. On a nightly basis, his numbers are mind-boggling. But we always focus on the one thing, what he can't do. Embiid, same thing. Now, lately we haven't complained about him because he's emerged as a legitimate MVP candidate. But early in the season, he takes too many threes. He doesn't get his butt in the post. He doesn't work hard enough to do that. Blah, 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 blah. We can go to a list. Here's my list. Ben, Joel, Brett Brown. Now, you know, the Sixers, I think, bailed him out last night. But you know if they would have lost that game, people would have been killing the coach for the rotation he had in the game. And I was screaming. In fact, I was texting with Anthony. I and you, Tyrone, I couldn't believe that with less than 5 minutes to play, he had T.J. McConnell, Jonah Bolden, Corey Brewer, and Shamet on the floor with Wilson Chandler, right? That was less than 5 minutes. I go, this is winning time. Let's go. So I had to complain about that. They survived because they had some really good defensive stops, and they converted off the defensive stops. You're going to run like that, you got to stop the other team from scoring. That was the most important thing, not the fact that they scored the baskets. They stopped the other team from scoring because it makes it that much harder to overcome the lead once the team starts scoring, and the Spurs had an 8-point lead with whatever was left. So it was the defense that did it. So in a way, you have to give Brett Brown a night where he was this close to getting broiled. You have to give him credit, I guess, right? But there are people that aren't going to give him credit for whatever reason. And this is what's going to make it a fun show. The airing of the grievances is a fun show. And I'm even going to throw myself in there. Airing of the grievances for Mike Missanelli. Because yesterday, I got some grievances. Because I was bringing up the fact that in all the Halliday stories, there was not one mention, not even one sentence about the circumstances of his death. Which I thought, as a good journalist, you just throw in. You're not trying to make a point to discredit him. It's just part of the narrative. You can't ignore it as a journalist. So, but I got blasted by a lot of people, email and Twitter, about that. I was being disrespectful. So you have a grievance with me, too. That's cool. There's Jimmy Butler. People have a grievance with Jimmy Butler now. There was a podcast, and Jackie McMullen, who's covered the NBA for a really long time, said that Jimmy Butler's already on thin ice with the Sixers organization. And I don't know if that's true or not. It's got to be reported more. It is possible. If he is on thin ice, what does this do for the Sixers for the rest of the year? They've won a couple of games without him. And they've won a couple of games with their current stars leading the way. So do they need Jimmy Butler? Now, personally, I think they desperately need Jimmy Butler, but that's just me. Markelle Fultz, he's on the bench, along with the other injured players, yucking it up, having a good time. Life of an NBA player where you get an NBA check and you don't have to do anything for it. I think it's wonderful. Airing of the grievances. You had a grievance with Markelle? I would think you would. Carson Wentz. My God, there was a story 2 days ago that had major grievances with Carson Wentz. Mike Groh, the offensive coordinator, major grievances. Self-inventory show today, Tyrone. Grievances with you, too. Because since you got this big TV show, a lot of people have grievances with you.
Yeah, I accept all anybody who has an issue with me.
No, you really don't. You don't really accept.
I do accept it. They have grievances with me.
You don't look at a grievance and go, ha, 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 that's really funny. You know, you get mad.
Well, I'd always get mad, but I always get even. Maybe that's not right.
You get even. You get even by blocking people. That's how you get even.
Some of them, most of them. But you know what, Mike? I have to say, I am pragmatic about it.
Uh-huh.
Every person who says something out of line, I give them a 3-minute clock. And if in those 3 minutes they apologize for what they said, I don't block them.
Nobody's going to apologize on Twitter. Have you ever had anybody apologize on Twitter?
Yes.
You have?
Yeah. And those
people have not had one single person who has ripped me apologize to me. Because they don't get a chance to apologize. As soon as they get that line, I got the hatchet out.
See, I give them out.
I don't need to have them in my life anymore.
I give them an opportunity. If they can swallow their pride and apologize.
And what, do you say that to them?
Yep, I sell them. I say, nope.
You're out of
3 minute apologize clock, or you know what happens. Yep, 3 minute clock, or you know what happens. And everyone knows, and I stick to the clock. And I look at it with the time stamp.
You're a tyrant, dude.
If they don't apologize, Mike, I'm doing what I have to do. Apologize.
Not you're a tyrant. I don't do that. Somebody wants to get out of line. I go, what's the point of you following me? If I engender this kind of response to you, then, you know, we don't belong together in life. You know, so well, here we go. Boom, you're gone. Like, well, what would you think? Like, if you really insult me on Twitter and call me a name or something, what makes you think that I'm going to keep you on my Twitter feed? Like, this is what I don't get about people on Twitter.
Well, and what's funny about you is people now message me on Twitter. And they say, can you ask Mike to unblock me? I'm like, yeah, that. Let me just go do that.
No, I don't understand people.
That'll
it's
work.
Like, you jackass. You blah, blah, blah. I think, all right, well, that's what you feel about me. We don't have to be in each other's life anymore. You're blocked. So I don't get, like, what they think they're going to get back.
I imagine how they are in their personal lives.
But this is different. See, I don't have the block button here. This
right?
is the airing of the grievances. So
if you have
a grievance with me, Ty, Natalie.
Oh, no.
But anybody who you really shoot arrows at normally, which are the players and the coaches, the Ben Simmonses of the world, the Joel Embiids of the world, the Brett Browns of the world, like all these people you have grievances with. And I want to have you air them out today. Gabe Kapler, another classic grievance guy, which I don't really quite understand. People, like, he sends people like in crazy land, that dude.
Yeah, he does. And it's unfortunate.
I just want to hear people out. Like, what is it that pushes, about these people that pushes your button so much? I think it'll be very entertaining. And today, I'm going to bring back a game that I really like playing. It's called the college game.
The college game?
The college game. And what the college game is, I give you a college. You give me the first three names that pop into your head associated with that college.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, it's a cool game.
Yeah.
Because you get a wide variety of responses to a game like that. And it's fun to do. And it's Thursday. And there really aren't any pressing issues. All right? Now we got a week for the Super Bowl, kind of in a midweek lull, airing of the grievances. Fun show today.
You know, I would like to, if I can air one grievance, Mike, if you don't mind.
Go ahead, air a grievance.
People, the Ben Simmons haters, now I know they can call in 610-632-0975, but this is what bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
They ask me all the time, does Ben Simmons even work on jump shots?
Uh-huh.
So I put a video online of him working on jump shots.
Mm-hmm.
Then they criticize the video. What do you want him to do, people?
Uh-huh.
You have to decide what you want. Do you want him to practice? You have to understand, if he's practicing them, Perhaps he's practicing them because there's something wrong with the jump shot. He can't fix it unless he shoots it. He then shoots it, and people get mad that he shoots them, and they want him to just go back to dunking. You have to make up your mind, people. Do you want him to shoot or not? Then he shoots it in the game, and then still this morning, I'm getting people mad at me for posting a video of him making three consecutive jump shots. He made all three of them, and they still complain. What do we actually want as far as player development? Do you want them to practice or not? Because the practice is not always going to be pretty when they're practicing. That's the point of it.
Exactly. All right, there you go. So you aired the first grievance.
Thank you. Feel better now.
Got it out of your system? Does it feel good in the air of grievance?
Yes, I feel a weight lifted.
Right. Here's how you get in. 610-632-0975. It is the Mike Misnelli Show. It's live. It's on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's on NBC Sports Philadelphia. And we're back after this. He's on his way to Denver. He's the great Mark Zumoff. Mark!
First of all, that was a great transition. I was impressed.
Well, you're good. Sometimes it just clicks, and sometimes you fumble. But
I know. Some nights I click, and some nights I fumble.
Well, you rarely fumble. But let's talk about
it. Please.
Last night was a monster win. Has to be fun to call a win like that, the way it came down the stretch. So what turned it for you in that game? They're down eight. All of a sudden, boom, here comes the defensive stops and a run, and they win the game, which we haven't seen a lot of this year.
Ben Simmons. That's what turned it last night. Ben Simmons. It was his playground for about the last 2.5 minutes. I mean, think about it. They're down, what? They're down eight. They come out of the timeout. Joel Embiid gets a rebound, throws to Ben. He gets a flying dunk. So that cuts it to six. And then I said on the air at one point, maybe that gets us started. Well, then Embiid block. Simmons gets a rebound, and that was the Shamet three. And then Simmons with another rebound. This is your point guard. So he's piling up the rebounds en route to a triple-double. Hits Redick. And, of course, by then, the game is tied. And now you have the defensive play at the end of the game, where apparently San Antonio is going for three, and he comes up with a key steal. I mean, I thought, personally, he took over the game in the final couple minutes, for sure.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it was good to see them win the game last night. Were you surprised that Popovich did not have DeRozan on the floor in that game? Because what happened on that last play? The Sixers figured it out, and all they did was trail Bellinelli. It was obviously we're trying to get him the shot.
Yeah, I think I see what you're saying there. The only thing I could say about DeRozan, while he had a good game, he's been struggling lately, and I'm just trying to get in Pop's head, which, of course, is impossible. I think he did miss his final three shots leading up to that point. You know, maybe that told him something, that he was gassed. I don't know, that, you know, he could rely on him for, especially since he just had a shot blocked by Wilson Chandler. And you're the road team. And when you're the road team, you know, you take a little bit of a gamble and, you know, you figure with all those shooters out there, one can get free. But again, Ben Simmons came up with a steal to end the game.
Now, we're talking to Mark Zumoff, who, of course, is celebrating his 25th year as the Sixers play-by-play announcer. And you've had a lot of partners over the years. I think six, right? So, wait a minute, like Mix, Bob, let me see if I get these right. Mix, Bob Salmi, bust out name, Pinckney, Snow, Malik Rose, now Awa. So, is that right?
I just have to say, yeah, my ego is so humongous that's what happens. You know, partners can only stay with me for a certain amount of time. Mix, it was incredible that he actually stayed with me for 13 years, but I'm tough to get along with, and I'm surprised Olive's hung in as long as he can.
Well, my question, I guess, is how long does it, and how do you develop chemistry with an analyst? What is that process like?
I think what I just try to do is try to get to know them. I hear their stories. I hear about their career. I get to know their personality. I understand their sense of humor. And then hopefully they pick up on what it is that I do and, you know, the way that I perform and my timing. And, you know, I try to give them as much opportunity as possible to, you know, chime in and say as much as they want. And I think for a lot of color analysts, Mike, that might clinch it, because a lot of them, you know, sometimes it's a tug of war at the mic. And what I try to do, especially because it's TV, is give guys a lot of room. And when you listen to what Al has to say on a nightly basis, I'm glad that I do because I think he's terrific.
Yeah, and he's always happy. Al's always happy. You know, he'll be
there is no reason. Listen. Because he works with me. See, now it's come full circle.
I call him Happy Allah. You know, you're with this team for 25 years. You've broadcasted some great players, obviously. But how? What is it like to broadcast Embiid and Simmons every night when you're seeing such transcendency?
You know, it's not like I'm having an out-of-body experience. I'm just enjoying the experience. I think they're great. I love the fact that when we go to the gym every night now, we have an opportunity to win a game as opposed to the first 3 years and that 10-win season when you knew from training camp that things were probably not going to go well. So I'm enjoying it. I think they're both delightful guys. I enjoy my time with them, albeit brief, you know, in a locker room or in an elevator or something like that. Or sometimes, like I'll get Ben last night for a minute or two on the court. They've always been very nice to me. And quite frankly, I don't. It's scary to think how good they're going to get. Because remember now, Simmons' second season and Embiid's third season. This is just the start. So I'm going to enjoy the ride for sure.
All right, now I don't know if it gets maddening for you because you're an objective broadcaster, but it gets maddening to some fans that Ben Simmons, as great as he is, and dominates the game in so many ways, just will not shoot the basketball. And I wonder if you feel that same thing, that there are times when he can shoot it and you look at it and it doesn't happen and you got to kind of like bite your tongue.
So here's what I think. First of all, he hit two shots last night, if I'm not mistaken, both fadeaway jumpers.
Yeah, he did.
So
yep.
He did. Okay, fine. And he's shooting it more. And listen, I turn to how Brett Brown coaches him, and he's been really patient with him. He has very much said publicly, and this is Brett talking, that Ben is going to figure out when and how often to shoot jump shots and where to shoot them in his time, and he's allowed him to do that. So while I know that Brett Brown and all the coaches are probably in hurry-up-and-wait mode, hey, we want you to shoot more, you know, they're just giving him leeway to develop it on his own. And you know, when things happen organically, a lot of times there's more permanency. The guy who does it is a lot happier that they let him do it on his terms. So, listen, right now it's all good. He had a triple-double last night. He should be on the All-Star team.
Yeah, I think so, too. We're talking Mark Zumoff, the Sixers play-by-play guy at NBC Sports Philly for the Sixers. Mark, last year, 25-24 at this time. They're 32-17 this year. They said this was the gauntlet of games. They've beaten Indiana, Houston, San Antonio, and lost to Oklahoma City in a game they probably should have won. Where are they right now in the pecking order in your estimation?
Oh. Well, first of all, do you know what a gauntlet is?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to look that up today. I was fairly sure of what it was. Yeah, it's like one of those gloves that knights used to use back in the day. You
yeah,
know, you put
yeah.
down the gauntlet.
It's very dangerous.
Okay. So I think that's what these 12 games are for. So I think what you need to do is look back on these games, and they have a very tough four-game trip. I think a lot of people, look at the Laker game and the Sacramento game as the games, let's say, more likely to win or more winnable. And then when you talk about Denver and Golden State, of course, the two top teams in the West, you're a little less optimistic, perhaps. But listen, strange things could happen. They could go in and win in both of those places, and they can lose at Sacramento and the Lakers, too, and come out and sue it, too. So let's see how they do through these 12 games. I think it'll be a litmus. But remember, 12 games is what? It's about a seventh of a season or a sixth of a season. So you are what your record says you are, as the man once said, and we'll see what happens at the end of the year.
Do you believe they need a little more for us to think that they're going to win the East?
Yeah, I do. And I know I have my own opinions. I could certainly echo those of Brett Brown. I think in Corey Brewer, they got what they needed in a wing defender. I would be shocked if he's not at least given a second 10-day tomorrow, if not just given a contract for the season. And then, you know, you look at the need for shooting, which is always there. Wilson Chandler essentially playing out of position because they brought him in to be Robert Covington's backup, has been playing both 4 and 3. And Brett Brown last night pointed out that when you switch between those two positions, how hard it is. So if there is a stretch four out there, and he might already be on the team in Jonah Bolden. Now, I don't know how much they want to lean on a rookie, but my goodness, when his motor is revved, he is a fun guy to watch. He can shoot, he blocks shots, he runs the floor, he rebounds, and he's a delightful young man. So, you know, do they decide to give him more minutes? Is somebody available that doesn't cost them that much they can go for? I don't know. I'm sure Elton Brand is examining all options and more than I can count.
Mark, they just did announce that Corey Brewer got the second 10 day. So that's
very nice.
All right, listen, you fight the good fight now the rest of the way here on this trip. And we'll see what we come back with. Thanks for coming on, brother.
Thanks for having me.
All right, man. There he is, Mark Zumwalt.
It's time for you to sound off.
You got a beef with me. What in the hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
You don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number five will always love you.
To tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today. Brought to you by the Minimally Invasive Spine Institute at Rothman Orthopedics. Minimally invasive, maximally effective. RothmanSpine.com. Let's keep going. Sound off.
All right, time for sound off. 610-771-9705. That's how you get in. If you got something to say, hit us up on that line, leave us a message, and you may make the big cut to the big show.
Mike, I suggest that you lose your Donovan McNabb soundbite. Donovan McNabb was like Allen Iverson and Manny Dykstra. All great athletes, but jackass human beings. You really should downplay your affinity for them.
McNabb wasn't a jackass human being. I mean, he was just a passive-aggressive, spoiled type of guy. He wasn't a bad guy.
Since then, he's been proven to have done some things, but that's him and his wife's business.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike, I just want to know if you noticed last night, of all the spectacular plays Ben Simmons made, his best play may have been at the very end of the game when he slapped the ball away on the inbounds pass with like a second and a half to go. The Spurs never even got a shot off.
Yeah, that was where we were trying to get the ball to Bellinelli. They had one option on that play. Bellinelli ran like an arc, a 360 arc to get free, and they trailed him the whole way.
Yeah, also, after the game, Pop said that the reason they took everybody out and they were going to shoot threes, he didn't want to go to overtime because he thought his team was starting to get gassed. So he was going for the win.
Oh, okay,
right,
but the Sixers didn't know that.
No, the Sixers didn't know that.
So
right.
If you have it, I know that DeRozan's not a great three-point shooter, but he's their best offensive player. You put him on the floor, you at least create a diversion, don't you?
Hey, Mike, in the beginning of the show, I happened to notice you said something about feeling bad for Flyers fans. Now, when you say feeling bad for Flyers fans because, you know, just not winning a cup in 40 years, you know, whatever, is that implying that you are not, in fact, in 4-for-4? You are not a Flyers fan?
No, it doesn't imply that at all. I'm an analyst, okay? I have a different status than you. Well, I want the teams to win. I'm not like a fan like you. I'm an analyst, so I can stay objective and be critical when I need to.
Yeah, Mikey Miss, what you do for your general knowledge grand prize winners is you should get yourself some frozen meatballs, some prag roux, or whatever the stuff that Jason
used from Prague,
cook it up for the people, for the grand prize winners.
Nah, man, I got Martinez to sign the Prego today, so this is going to be sent out to our winner, the Prego,
the Prague Roux,
Prague Roux.
Mike, I realize that hockey is a distant fourth in your sports lexicon here, but a puck with a wing. It's a flying P. Originally, it was a flying P. Today, it's the same flying P for the Flyers logo.
It's a puck with a wing. All right? That's what it is. It's a puck in the middle, and so it has a wing on it, and it's shaped like a P because that's how they're trying to tie it in. But basically, it's a puck with a wing.
Can we start a new rule where a triple-double is the triple-double? The player scores at least 20 points. I'm so sick of Ben Simmons scoring 10, 11, 12 points. Oh, he's got a triple-double. a Korkmaz can score 10 points in a game.
Yeah, Korkmaz can't go 10 assists and 10 rebounds, though. But you think that's easy to go 10, 10, 10, even if it's 10, 10, 10, which last night it was, and he had 20 points. Come on, dude.
So you guys touched on three major sports teams, but you didn't talk about the Eagles updating their uniforms. They are so stale. I think it's been almost 30 years they've updated that dark green. What about bringing back Kelly Green?
Oh, here we go.
I know we've been freaked about it for a while, but that would be a nice fresh start for the new year.
First time I've heard. Let's go back to the Kelly Green.
You want to get progressive. And he goes, oh, you haven't brought up the Eagles.
It's like the Phillies. Let's go back to the pinstripe era when they sucked. Let's bring those uniforms back from the 50s and 60s when they were the worst franchise in baseball.
Yeah, I was just wondering if there's any word on who the Eagles were that spoke out about Carson Wentz. There's always a player that never goes to the back of the line and always steps up to speak out. And that's Malcolm Jenkins. And I haven't heard a word from Malcolm Jenkins defending Carson Wentz.
Yeah, he defended him.
And I was wondering if it was possibly him that spoke out against Carson.
He kind of defended him. He also said that there are times when a quarterback has to be headstrong, so he clarified that.
Yeah, he said that he does it, in fact.
Yeah.
That he does the same thing.
Right.
I just went back and watched the Super Bowl, and I didn't see any play that worked like this. Nick Foles drops back. Nick Foles blocks for himself. Nick Foles hurls the ball downfield. Nick Foles runs under it. Nick Foles catches it. Touchdown, Eagles. Will all you Folesian jerks quit saying Nick Foles won us a Super Bowl? Mm-hmm. 53 guys, plus a practice squad, plus a coaching staff, what's the front office won us a Super Bowl?
I used to win the Super Bowl that way in my backyard. Like, I'd drop back, I'd throw it in the air, and I'd go chase it, and then dive and catch it into a pile of leaves for the game-winning touchdown. Yeah, but they don't do that in real life. You're right.
Hey, Mike, it's Jim. I was just calling to say, hey, Natalie. I remember this one time, it was back in 1987, I was playing basketball with Andy, and I remember Anthony did a crossover on me, and I got arms stuck on my shirt, and I remember because I had pancakes that morning, and then back in 2005, you said you didn't like Aunt Jemima syrup, and I was like, called you up, do you remember? I called you out on that, and I'm a long cabin guy myself, and do you not remember this other, hold on, I'm
going
to take a bite of this sandwich. I'll be back.
Oh, that's an awesome imitation of Jim from Abertown. We get a Jim imitator. That's awesome.
You are totally wrong on this referee issue, and I'm going to tell you why. I understand your point. Yeah, you can't review every single call. I'm not even going to argue for review. But the refs do need to get fired for missing a helmet-to-helmet contact call. People like Andre Waters, Junior Seau, Dave Duerson have killed themselves due to injuries sustained from helmet-to-helmet contact. And the NFL has to do everything in its power to stop helmet-to-helmet contact, which causes major head injuries. And if that means that the ref misses a huge call like that, where a helmet hits another helmet, you got to fire him.
Okay, fire him. Knock yourself out, fire him.
Regarding the DeMarco Folk situation, the 76ers should learn from their mistakes. They should learn what happened to Bynum. They paid him all that money. He was never on the court. This guy doesn't want to play. It's been 2 years since he's been on the team. They ought to admit they made a mistake. Give him a choice. Send him to the D-League, or you cut him.
Can't cut him because of the financial ramifications of cutting him. But the D-League is interesting because they're going to send a couple guys down there now, and he's not going to be one of them. So, I don't know. Listen, the babying that's going on with this kid is ridiculous. The agent is behind the medical reasons, and so they hide behind those and say he's physically incapable of playing. I don't know. I've just given up on that whole thing. Close it down, man.
That's the best of the best today of Sound Off. Brought to you by the Minimally Invasive Spine Institute at Rothman Orthopedics. Minimally invasive, maximally effective. RothmanSpine.com.
Got a beef?
I don't like them.
What are they?
Because I don't like
them.
Leave it at 7. 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your sound off gets on.
See you later.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.